Blog Talk Radio.
Talk Radio, and we're going to have straight talk about the kingdom for the next half hour. Then we'll go to 2 hours on LibertyRadioLive.com. And then this afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern or Pacific time, we will have another hour on Freedomizer. And we're going to be talking a lot about money and what it is not, and what you need to know about it in order to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And there's a lot of information about money, because there's a lot of different kinds of money that we have used over the centuries. There's a lot of different kinds of money that we're actually using right now. And money is important because it has a very key part in our lives today, and certainly a key part in freedom, and a key part that it plays in our modern day bondage, which isn't really all that modern. It's not new. The New World Order is not new, and it's not orderly. It's actually a lot of chaos, and it's as old as Cain himself. Cain created the first city-state. Nimrod wanted his tower to heaven. The concept of the tower, there may have actually been a physical tower, but that concept in the Hebrew language has to do with a patronus family authority over the rest of mankind. Everybody in his city-state was under his power as the father of that city-state. And Jesus, of course, said, call no man father. Well, how did he get such power? Well, a number of things. And one of the things that city-states use to obtain power is that they issued money. They issued some form of currency or money to be exchanged and used as an exchange within that city. The cities were places of markets. They were consolidated and concentrated and incorporated units, and around them was farmland that fed the cities, but the cities had the people. Even the word city in the Hebrew means anguish or terror, and the reason why is the city also represented a civil authority, and the civil authority is civil law, is the law that men make for themselves. And this is a very important thing in understanding money, because most money that is issued by government is surrounded or encased or subject to civil law, civil or commercial law or merchant law, and that all can get very complicated. But we're going to talk about money in a very simple sense. There's a number of things that happened on this day in history that I find interesting. Abraham Lincoln delivered his Gettysburg Address in 1863, and in it he talked about the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. Well, the Bible was the book written for the government of the people, for the people, and by the people as well, and that's what it says in Wycliffe's introduction to the Bible, his translation of the Bible. And that's where Abraham got that quote. He's been given credit for it, but he actually got it from Wycliffe, because that's an interesting concept of being self-governed and being a government of the people, is that you have to have certain parameters and understanding of government, because you're the government and they're not. it's not a government of a few men or one man that you elect and he rules over you, it makes laws. You're responsible to decide fact and law, each and every one of you. And that encompasses more than money, but it certainly encompasses money. So who should issue money? If you're a government of the people, for the people, by the people should issue the money. Well, how would you issue money? How are you going to do that? Well, gold and silver was a form of money or used as money when it was turned into a coin-type apparatus, a little piece of metal, often round but not always. If you coin money, we'll get into that in the next show, you've changed the nature of that metal. It's now not just metal, but it's metal that's coined. And the power to coin is different than simply making a chunk of metal and saying, well, this is an ounce of metal. The coinage has to do with more than simply making that ounce of metal. Well, the first money that was used was simply made by silver miners and gold miners. And they melted it down in a smelting process and put it into a little chunk. And they said, here, this is value. This is silver. This is gold. They could even use iron because iron had a value, but it would take a lot of iron to make the value of gold. But still, it would have value too. But the value is in the commodity when it's just a chunk of metal. You know, silver has certain medicinal value. It doesn't corrode. It doesn't rust like iron does, but yet it can be used in a number of different ways, and it has a value. People value it, and that's what money has, is value. And that value is in two places. It's in the substance itself, and it's in the mind of the individual people. But the original money that was used as silver, often in the form of rings or sometimes in the form of what looks like coins, a flat piece of metal, it was simply made by the people who were in the mining business, just as people in the wine business made wine, and wine was often used as a currency. Whiskey was used as a currency in early America as a trade good because it was easier to transport a gallon of whiskey than pounds and pounds and pounds of grain that it might take to make that whiskey. So the whiskey had greater value pound for pound for the grain farmers on one side of the Appalachians to trade with people on the other side. They made whiskey and carried it across because the whiskey would pound for pound have greater value because it required more work to produce it, value added. And so that's how whiskey became a commodity money in early America. And the same with many other things. Grain was used as money, as a means of exchange. But it's hard to carry around a 100-pound sack of grain in your pocket when you could carry around 6 denarii that would buy you almost 100 pounds. It would buy you actually about 30 pounds, 6 denarii, which would be about 6 dimes. But to buy 100 pounds, so you would just need, 15 denarii or so. And you could buy 100 pounds of grain. Well, it's easy to carry 15 dimes in your pocket, not easy to carry 100 pounds of grain. So that's why these things are all commodity money. But when you coin a silver dime, it's not commodity money alone anymore. It's now coined. And again, we'll talk more about that later. Other things happened in history at this time. The Mayflower arrived on the coast of Cape Cod. They weren't supposed to land in Cape Cod, but that's where they ended up landing, is Plymouth Rock, and there was a reason why they came there, and there was a plan, and there was a strategy, and you'll just have to wait till I come out with the book, Pilgrims and Strangers, and if you want me to come out with it sooner, you're just going to have to support me so I don't have to go out and do all this other work, and I can devote all my time to writing. So that's up to you, but it's really, I think, going to be one of the more fascinating books once it's finished. But I'm still trying to finish Altars of Blood, and we'll get that one done first, and then we'll move on to Pilgrims and Strangers, which I have quite a bit of that started. And it's amazing research, and it shows you really what was behind many of the early colonies, what they were really doing, and the secret of their success, because Americans have forgotten the secrets of their success. And one of those secrets is actually in money, which is, again, what we're talking about. Christopher Columbus, on the same day, discovered Puerto Rico on a second voyage to the New World. So a lot of the things happened in the New World on this day, but it was different years. That was in 1493, and 1620 the Mayflower was arrived. The United States in 1794 and Britain signed the Jay Treaty. So the United States had treaty-making powers. Amazing. And anybody who's read contracts, covenants, and constitutions know that you should never give your government treaty-making powers. That gives them the power to make contracts for you. Now, that's forbidden in the Bible, but most people wouldn't know that because the ministers of the churches today have sold out for other purposes other than Christ's purpose. Some of them don't know it, but that's actually what has taken place in America and in the world today. That's why the gospel of the kingdom is almost never preached. I'm going to look at my switchboard to see if anybody else is calling in. You can call in and ask a question at 323-927-1405. If you're listening to the show live, and you'll be prompted to push a button so I know that you want me to pick up and answer your call. And other things happen. The Edsel stopped being produced on this day in 1969. Monaco held a coronation for its new ruler, Prince Rainier. What is Monaco? Well, Monaco used to be a monastery, but then pirates busted in and murdered all the monks and killed them, their families, everything that was going on there, and they took it over, and now the Prince of Monaco is the descendant of those original pirates. So that's how some governments begin. Other governments begin more by subterfuge. They depend upon the weakness of the people. They slowly move the people in a direction until they can no longer remember the mysteries of their freedom. And that, of course, is what the gospel is all about, teaching the people how to form a government based on liberty under God. That's the kingdom of God, the right to be ruled by God. Most people don't understand that. They think the government of God is when you're dead. Well, Jesus said the government of God is for the living, not for the dead. So why are everybody thinking that it's after I dead that I go home? This is our home. This is where God put us. He told us to dress it and keep it. Keep it means to remain in possession of it. That means that you should be in possession of the land that you live on. Nobody shouldn't be paying rent to anybody. And, of course, everybody in the world today, almost across the board, are all paying rent to some government who can exercise authority over them, but claim to be a benefactor. And, of course, Jesus said we were not to be that way. But modern churches just wave their hand and say it's okay to be that way. That's the way we are today. All you have to do is believe in Jesus. Don't bother with what he actually told you to do. You don't have to do anything. You just have to believe. You don't have to be a doer of the word, because that would be saved by works. You just have to be a believer. And, of course, they're not believing in Jesus. They're believing in a fraudulent image of Jesus, an idolatry image of Jesus created by the modern church. And their modern doctrines. You go read the doctrines of the church and you would just be absolutely amazed, at how little of what Jesus said to do and not do is in the doctrines of every single church out there. They make vague references, maybe a Matthew reference here and there to what Jesus said, but in reality, they don't. Jesus had lots of instructions, lots. Even his parables were saying, you know, this was good, this is bad. Don't do this, do this. And people don't do it. They think, oh, well, I'm forgiven because Jesus died on the cross. But that's not what Jesus said. That's not what God says. That's not what the New Testament says. It says that ye might be forgiven. He died that ye might be forgiven. So there's a factor in your forgiveness. What is one of those factors in your forgiveness? That you have to forgive others. If you will not forgive, neither will my Father forgive you. Whether I die on the cross or not, it's irrelevant to you unless you forgive. If you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven, period. That's what Jesus says. The fact that you say you accept him, that's just saying, Lord, Lord. He says not those who say, Lord, Lord, but those who doeth the will of the Father. Doeth? Doesn't Jesus know I'm saved by faith? I'm not saved by works? No, your faith is dead if you're not doing what Jesus said. And he said, keep the commandments if you want eternal life. You talk about heaven because you believe in Jesus. But he says, keep the commandments if you want eternal life. That's what he says. Oh, no, we just have to believe. You are listening to Satan. And if your minister keeps saying that to you, he is a servant of Satan, not a servant of Christ. You need to be a doer of the word. You will never do enough where God owes you salvation. Got it. Write it down. But if you're not doing, if you're not striving, like Jesus said, to strive, if you're not seeking daily, as Jesus said to seek, if you're not loving your neighbor and forgiving your neighbor, then you're not saved. Your salvation is a fraud, and you're a fraud as a Christian. So that's my mean wake-up call here on Blog Talk. But why are we talking about that instead of talking about money? Because most of what people are using as money today is debt. And debt doesn't go away unless you forgive debt. You see how far this forgiveness goes? Every single people say, I have paid into Social Security and I have a right to Social Security. What you paid in was your contribution, your sacrifice on the altars of the government you serve. And you paid in to help the widows and orphans. And that's wonderful that you paid in all that Social Security. That's a blessing that you took care of all those widows and orphans. Unfortunately, you also took care of a lot of drug addicts and a lot of liars who claim to be disabled but are actually working under the table. I heard about another fellow who used to work for me, a lot younger than me. He's on disability now. He doesn't have to work anymore for a living, but he does. He works under the table in a little secret business, a little cash business. Had somebody, a nearby neighbor, wanted me to pay for something that I was purchasing from them, and they wanted it in cash so they didn't have to pay for it on their taxes, or report it on their taxes. But they're a Christian. That's a sin. That's a sin. You're cheating your government. And it is your government because you will look to them for benefits and protection. But you don't want to pay what you owe? Oh, that's terrible. That's a terrible, terrible, terrible sin. You should not be cheating on your taxes. If you owe those taxes, pay those taxes. So anyway, what about forgiveness? How does this do with forgiveness? Well, what happens if the men who go out and collect the money for your Social Security when you're now receiving Social Security, what happens if they are abusive? What happens if they go to people who can't afford to pay because of the economy, they're struggling, they've really worked hard, but they just had a lot of problems, and they find them, and they arrest them, and they put them in jail. And they take them from their families because they didn't pay the full amount. What did Jesus say about that servant? And who is he serving? He's serving you. You're his taskmaster, and you say, go out there and collect that money because I need my Social Security. I want it. I paid in when I needed help, and I want to be paid now. And I want you guys, you IRS agents, and you government agents, whatever government you're in, it doesn't really matter. I don't care if it's the United States or Australia or England or Venezuela. Those government people are working for you, and they're out there beating up your neighbor to make sure they got enough money to supply you with benefits, whether it's Social Security or disability or welfare or unemployment. And if they don't pay in, they'll take their house away, they'll take their freedom away, they'll take them away from their families. They'll throw them in jail. They'll fine them and fine them and fine them because they didn't pay on time. And they're doing it in your name. But you love Jesus. You love Jesus, so you're saved. No, you're going to be counted as one of those workers of iniquity. Now, am I saying stop collecting your Social Security? No. I'm saying start seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Start creating a network of people who will take care of you even when there is no Social Security. What is in the harm of that? Isn't that what Christ was doing? Taking care of the needy? Isn't that what He told us to do? Now, we're talking the real needy. We're not talking about these tax cheaters and these fake disability guys and, you know, people who are collecting a check and have millions of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars who won't even take care of their own mother, but they're on disability, but their 80, 90-year-old mother has got to have neighbors cut the firewood for them because they're too busy cheating the government. So that's, we're the money now. We're the human resources now in the United States and in Australia and England and all over the world. All the people are human resources because you become collateral for debt, and none of you want to be collateral for debt. You want to be free. If you want to be free, you have to forgive. Or you won't be forgiven, and your debt won't be forgiven, and Christ died in vain for you. He didn't die in vain for the faithful. But for all you guys who think you believe in Jesus, you got your doctrine right, but you aren't even doing the will of the Father. You aren't doing what Jesus said. Well, that's a real problem. I'll pull up my switchboard to see if we got any callers. Okay, the calling number is 323-927-1405. If you have any questions, let us know, and we'll answer your call. So anyway, this we'll have a call-in number also on Liberty Live and Freedomizer Radio. So if you have call-ins there, there's actually a chat room here. I see that. I've actually loaded that. I think I've got everything still loaded here. And you can actually ask questions in the chat if you want. I think. I actually have to launch chat, and new one. Okay, here we go. And maybe I didn't have it launched. I'm still learning the switchboard. But anyway, if you are having any questions about this and what money is and what money is not, let me know. Actually, I'm not sure it's a good idea to load this chat if it affects my the sound over our internet connection. You let me know, folks, because we're competing for bandwidth with this. Anyway, so money should be issued by the people if you want to have a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. And it should be commodity money. It should have value in itself. But there is actually a form of money that you can issue as a people on a limited basis that is not a commodity money. And it's called an IOU note. And it is a reasonable thing. We have lots of tools to produce money and establish a financial system amongst the people, but you know, all money, commodity money or otherwise, is based on trust, what you have trust in. Well, do you trust in the value of gold, and do you trust in the value of silver? Well, that's dangerous. But you can know what gold is and silver is and copper is and these other metals, because all they are is refined dirt. I mean, you can use compost. You could use manure as money. It's just hard to carry around enough money, enough manure. But I've actually traded with people who wanted some of our manure. And we've let them have the manure, and they've done favors back. We didn't actually weigh it out and charge them that way, but we've done favors for them, and we've gotten people who wanted to get rid of straw that we were going to use for compost, and they give us the straw. And it has value. It's just not as portable as a silver dollar. At least you don't want to put much of it in your pocket. But the reality is all those are commodity money, but there are other kinds of money that you can actually produce that are still within the biblical range and purpose and have a purpose, but you have to be very careful. This is why it says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What makes the money valuable is the righteousness of the people that handle it. I have seen people cheat people with gold and silver. That does not make the money righteous. Money is not righteous. It never is righteous. It is never unrighteous. It is just the people that make the difference. And when you are seeking righteousness, there are some choices you will not make in the production of money. And that would be the job of the people to produce that money. So in that production, in that establishing of funds for your society to be used as money, and we'll get into the definition of money when we start on Liberty Live, you will begin to understand how important, hopefully you will begin to understand, I can't guarantee that, how important it is to understand what is money and what is not money, what is godly money and what is not godly money, what is righteous money and what is not righteous money, and righteous people will move in the direction of righteous money, and unrighteous people will move in the other direction. But it's like when we talk about moving in directions, we can go back to who is your shepherd. Now, I work for Christ, and I know about shepherding because I actually do herd sheep. And you do not force your sheep to go anywhere. If you try to force them up a chute or through a gate, they will fight you. They will resist. But if you show them the way and give them that little time to think, they'll look and they'll say and they'll think and they'll decide and they'll go and they'll all go. And so all we are doing is opening up a gate and showing you a way towards the kingdom. You have to choose to go that way. You have to choose that route. It's up to you. And so anyway, in the next 2 hours on LibertyRadioLive.com, we're going to get into some definitions, and we're going to also touch a little bit about what you can start doing, what you personally can start doing to make your mind righteous. And until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.